This is Unhurried, and I'm your host, Doug Kyle. You know, life can feel like a race, rushing to the next thing, never time to reflect. But there is incredible value in slowing down with God to take in His perspective, His presence, His pace. The good life. It's what a lot of people spend a lot of time pursuing and chasing after. What's Jesus's take on it? Well, welcome. This is episode 7 of season 2 of Unhurried. I'm Doug Kyle, your host, along with our producer, Ryan Viramontes. Thanks for joining us. Today is kind of a follow-up of what the message that I gave on Sunday. As you know, it's usually just what we're trying to do here is just go a deeper dive into the things that we talk about on Sunday morning. And we're in this episode and this series of podcasts, we're looking at the questions that Jesus asked when he was on earth and realizing that those questions are completely relevant today too, that he still asks many of those questions to us. Today, the question I want us to live with a little bit is the question, why do you ask me about what is good? I think this is one of the more obscure questions that Jesus asks. It's one of the more interesting ones, but also harder for us to really get our heads around at first. It kind of comes out of left field. Even when he first said it, the rich young ruler came up to him and said, you know, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life or enter eternal life? And then Jesus asked this question, why do you ask me about what is good? And it seems like it's just this very random question at the time.
Right.
But the more you think about it, the more potent it becomes. Yeah. So I want us to live with that a little bit more today. You have a more relaxed, unhurried time, really allowing us to let that question kind of settle in with us today. Here's a little behind the scenes on what happens on Sunday morning, though, that a lot of people don't know. And this is, you know, for our listeners and viewers, a little behind the scenes insight. Wouldn't you agree that sometimes we get the strangest comments sometimes right after the service?
Sometimes, yes.
Some of them are really random or strange or catch you off guard. And this week was no exception.
Really?
The very first thing that someone said to me right after the message, you need a little context for this.
Sure.
So the context is I'm talking about how sometimes when we come to God, we really don't want to necessarily, we're not committed to doing what he tells us to do. We just want to consider some other options. Like, which is a, you know, bad thing, but that's what a lot of us do. It's like, well, I just want to consider it, not necessarily do it. And so I had this analogy, and here's the analogy. I basically, from the message, I said, imagine you go to a restaurant, you look at a menu. Remember this?
I love this one.
I go, this is,
good.
You tell the server, this is my first time here, what's good? And she says, I recommend the chicken marsala with capers, white wine sauce. The chef has won awards for it. It's a house specialty. Everyone loves it. And you say, wow, that sounds good. I think I'll have the pizza.
Yeah.
And your server says to herself, why do you ask me about what is good then? And I thought this was brilliant because I'm thinking, you know, I basically have her in this imaginary scenario saying exactly the same question that Jesus said, why do you ask me about what is good?
Right.
For the same reason that sometimes we just want to know what's good to give us options, but not necessarily, we're not committed to taking the advice.
Right.
So I'm thinking this is a very helpful illustration. And then I get, this is literally before the service is over. I'm done speaking. I sit down. The person in the row behind me leans forward. You're leading worships. Everybody's singing and she leans forward and she says, awesome message. That was nice.
Yeah.
That was nice.
That's
so nice. I'll take that.
Cool.
But
the constructive sandwich, right? Where you start with something positive, and
right?
Then you go,
yeah, I'm going. Okay, what? She goes, what you were describing was chicken piccata, not chicken marsala. I'm going, what?
You're like, wait,
But she's been a server for many years, worked in restaurants. So she's a foodie.
Yeah.
And she's going, that was not chicken marsala.
I think I know exactly who you're talking about.
Do you? Yeah. I won't throw her under the bus, but I will say that I told my wife about it, and she said, she's right.
She's right.
It was chicken piccata. It wasn't chicken marsala. I'm going, really? I'm not an Italian food specialist. So anyway, second service, I changed it.
Very good.
I mentioned chicken piccata rather
there
than
you
chicken.
Go.
So I wouldn't stumble people. And
they forget
about everything else I said. So yeah, I'm always thinking that's the one thing you took away from the message.
Right. Right.
That I misspoke on, but you can't get away with anything.
You can't. And I sometimes have those thoughts too, where like I'll mess up, or like, you know, someone in the band and I go, oh no, like everybody's going to notice. And then they never do, but then they notice something else. And you go well, you're like, wait a minute. Like, why'd you get stuck on that? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Didn't you see us? We fell off the track over there. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Right. You know? Love it. Well, for the so if you listen to it, the message online, or if you do, I meant chicken piccata. I'm pretty sure they recorded the first service, so I
would have never caught it. So I think we did upload the first service.
Yeah. So it's chicken piccata. I understand. I stand corrected. Apologize to all my Italian foodies out there that I messed up on that one.
Right.
I actually what I described as my favorite dish in an Italian food restaurant would be the apparently chicken piccata. I thought it was marsala,
right?
But it's the one with the capers, the white wine sauce, and everything. So that was mine. Yeah. So anyway,
I'm a pizza guy.
You would be getting the pizza.
I'm a pizza guy.
You're saying get the pizza.
I'm just like, I don't, you know, they might be known for that, but I'm like, I'll just take a pepperoni pizza, please.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's one of the scenarios that I kind of played out a little bit in the message, and that is the idea that sometimes we come to God and we ask Him about what is good, not because we want to do it, but just we want to consider it.
Right.
And if we do, we're missing out on the good that He really wants for us. If we're simply saying, I just want to consider it. We kind of see that in the story on Sunday, in the story of the rich young ruler. He asked Jesus about what is good, but when Jesus really laid it out for him, he wasn't willing to accept it. Mm-hmm. He said, I'll take the pizza or whatever, I'll take curtain B rather than what you're offering. And yet what I think is really helpful about Jesus's question. So if you're not familiar with the story, this rich young ruler comes up to him and asks him about what good thing do I need to do to enter eternal life? That alone is kind of a revealing question, because I think that's what religion asks all the time. You know, if religion as opposed to Christianity, people think religion is just, I need to do some good things mm-hmm. to get into heaven. Mm-hmm. What is there one good thing I need to do, or just a list of good things I need to do? And Jesus is completely flipping that around. He's helping him see that it's not about The Christian life isn't about just checking off a few things that we did and then we can live the way we like. Mm-hmm. It's about experiencing the good that Jesus has. So he says, you know, why do you ask me about what is good? And what he means by that is kind of amplified in his next two sentences. He says, there's only one good, and that one is capitalized, talking about God. So mm-hmm. Only one good. And the idea is that goodness comes from God. And if you want to know, if you want to find the good life, if you want to find what's good, if you want to enter eternal life, if you want to live a life in this life that links us to the next life, it needs to be connected to God. Yeah. So that alone is pretty powerful. But then the other thing that Jesus said, and this really, I had some good feedback on this. Yeah. I think this got people thinking a little bit, is the idea that Jesus kind of changed the question. Mm. The young man said, what good thing must I do to enter eternal life? And Jesus said, if you want to enter life.
Right.
And that's not just a shortcut. Jesus, what he's doing there is he's saying, I'm not just interested in you being prepared for eternity. I want you to experience eternity now.
Right.
I want heaven to not just be as a distant reality after you are old and and have passed on. I want it to be your current reality right now as a young man.
Yeah.
I want you to experience that. And in other words, for Jesus, eternal life starts now.
Right.
It's something that we start to experience now. The good life is the God life. The good life is a life that's connected to God's goodness forever.
Right, right. Yeah, I love the way you phrased that. You know, I've heard the story, you know, multiple times before and things like that, and I just never thought of it that way. That, you know, Jesus in that, not only in that moment, but in all of our lives, he really does want us to start eternity now. You know what I mean? The kingdom work starts now, not when you're older or, you know, you kind of go, okay, now I'll start making some corrections, you know, but it starts now, you know?
What a different way to think about it. I mean, I think a lot of people think about religion. Well, if I just go to church enough and if I, you know, give a little bit of money and do a few nice things along the way, I've checked enough boxes to enter eternal life in the future.
Right.
And Jesus says, it's not about doing a few things. It's about experiencing that life right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's in John 5:24, Jesus said this. He said, "Very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life." So that's has eternal life. Mm. That's not like will have,
right,
but has it, and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life.
Mm-hmm.
So if we want to think about it this way, when we put our faith in Jesus, we actually enter into eternal life at that moment.
Right there.
And from, you know, the rest of our lives and the rest of eternity will now find us in that category in that experience of eternal life. So, yeah, I think that's, to me, that was a story that we've heard a lot, but I think what the series has allowed us to do is really focus on the question that Jesus asked. And we look at the question, you realize he really is reframing the rich young ruler's question.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Like I said, I've heard that story, you know, multiple times. I've never thought of it that way. You know, I always thought it was more of he was trying to, as a rich ruler, I always looked at it from the perspective of, he has everything. He's asking Jesus, what more could he possibly have, or what else out there is good?
Yeah.
And you would kind of think that he could have everything. He'd have the nicest, you know, in today's world, you have the nicest cars, the nicest clothes, you know what I mean? Like the coolest things. And yet he's asking Jesus, what else can he do to, you know, what else is out there that's good that I haven't purchased?
Right.
You know what I mean? And Jesus is telling him these answers, you know, and it's not really what he wanted to hear, but he's saying your life, your plan, your future can be so much greater. You know what I mean? And it can be forever, you know?
Yeah. I think if you ask the, you know, just someone who's not living in this story, but just kind of heard it in their life, they would summarize the story. And maybe many of us would too. If we aren't really, you know, spending time like we are, unhurried time looking at it.
Yeah.
We would just say, yeah, this guy had a lot going for him. His life was really good.
Really
good. He was a rich young ruler.
Sure.
You know, he's had wealth. He had youth. He had power.
Yeah.
Everything this world wants. And Jesus is asking him to give it away.
Just give it away.
And so what Jesus is saying is, you have a really good life right now, but I want you to have a worse life.
Yeah.
You know, I want you to give it all away. If you really want to follow me, you need to, you know, give up your good life.
Right, right.
And really what is going on here is just the opposite. Jesus is saying, you're missing out.
Yeah.
You've kind of bought the world's concept of what a good life is.
Right. Right.
Rich, young, and powerful. That's the world's standard of what's good. And Jesus is saying, I want you to have God's good.
Yeah.
Which is better than what you've settled for.
Right.
So to me, that's a really different take on it. And I think, I hope they came across in the message, but even as people are listening right now, really would want people to get that message.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think that's critical.
Right. Right. It reminds me of like a picture, I think, that was like kind of like, I don't remember how long ago it was, but it was early in the days of like, you know, kind of the meme you know, kind of culture, you know, but it was a picture of like a little girl and she's holding like this like tiny teddy bear. And then there's a picture of Jesus and behind his back, he has like a huge teddy bear. Mm. And it was kind of like showing the picture of like, sometimes we have, and we think it's like really, really good, but Jesus wants us to have even more than that, you know? And that, like, that came to mind while you were preaching yesterday, that I was like, that picture, you know, kind of came to my mind where I go, like, we have things in our life that are really good, right? Like, we can consider our life to be somewhat of the rich man in this story, right? You know, I'm like, we live in beautiful sunny San Diego and we get to, you know, we live where people vacation, but like, you know, but even then we can still give that up for Jesus because his plan is so much bigger than we could ever imagine.
Yeah, know? Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, maybe some listeners out there or viewers are thinking, well, this sounds a little overly positive or a little bit, you know, optimistic, like, well, Jesus just wants you to have, you know, a great life, until we remember that we're talking about a pretty costly prescription that Jesus gave this guy.
Right, right.
In Matthew 19:21, Jesus said this to them, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. And so, you know, selling everything, mm-hmm. understandably, that felt really costly.
Yeah.
And maybe more costly for someone who had so much.
Right.
You know, when you don't have that much, it still is costly because whatever you have is precious to you. But when you've earned so much, you've attained so much, maybe inherited it. We don't know how he got all this, the riches. It feels like a really huge sacrifice to sell everything. So much so in the story that he left sad. And I felt like this was also, it was a liberating message, but it was also a convicting message. Mm-hmm. And it should be.
Right.
Because following Jesus is costly.
Yes, it is.
And he says, you know, you need to sell everything. And mm-hmm. and the way I talked about it is he basically said, you need to liquidate your estate and give it all to the poor. And as I think about that, what was going on in that situation, this is descriptive, not prescriptive.
Right.
And what I mean by that is, it's a lot of times we take verses in the Bible and we don't make a distinction between those two things. And so we say, well, that's meant for everybody, but it really is describing what Jesus said just to this man. It was meant for him. It comes to us in this encounter rather than, you know, a place where Jesus says, if you follow me, you must sell everything, give to the poor. What I believe is going on in the situation is that Jesus is looking into that man's heart. He knows exactly what is holding him back from really experiencing the God life that mm-hmm. Jesus was calling him to. And in his case, what that required was to sell everything and give to the poor. He could see what was holding him back, what he was clutching onto so tightly and was keeping him from fully following Jesus. And that was his wealth. That mm-hmm. was the big thing that was keeping him. What's universal about what Jesus said to him, though, and what is not just descriptive but prescriptive, that is, applies to all of us, and that is, Jesus always calls to us and calls us to let go of those things that are keeping us from following him, right. and then instead to follow him.
Right.
And that sacrifice looks different for each person because each of us might have different things that we are putting as a wall between us and Jesus.
Right.
It's keeping us from really fully saying yes to him. In the message I talked about, it could be control, it could be comfort, it could be approval. It could be a number of things
right.
that we are saying, this is more important to me than fully following Jesus.
Right, right.
But the pursuit is always the same. For all of us, what Jesus is calling us to is the same, is to follow him and to let go of everything that would keep us from doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes letting go is just simply saying, Lord, I'm releasing my dependence on it. And sometimes it's actually releasing them actually mm-hmm. and truly. And for each person, you know, Jesus is very personal and very specific about things that we need to let go of. I remember when I became a Christian, there were some things I needed to let go of immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. And I think he allowed me to, he enabled me to do it actually.
Sure. Sure.
And other things that we release just emotionally, we say, Lord, this is yours. And then he gives it back to us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a beautiful thing.
Right.
Like Abraham and Isaac, you mm-hmm. know, we release it and then he gives it back to us and we go, but now we treat it differently because it belongs to God and not to us.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I love that. The point of whatever is in our life that's holding us back from fully pursuing, you know, in the story, it's this guy's wealth. But like you said, it could be, you know, a multitude of different things, you know, and I love that perspective of that because you can just kind of get, you know, you go like, oh, that's the rich, you know, that's the rich young man. That's his problem. It's not necessarily mine. You know what I mean? You know, it's like, but we do still have things in our life that we're putting up in front of our priority, which should be to follow Christ.
Right. And so when we talk about Jesus wants a good life for us, it's important to also say, especially with this story in front of us, that good life requires sacrifice.
Yes, it does.
It requires, yes, really honestly letting him spotlight those things in our lives mm-hmm. that are hurdles to mm-hmm. us really following him and then doing the hard work of releasing those to whatever degree he's calling us to release them.
Yeah.
But here's what I feel like we have to add, and this is, I didn't have time to go into this on Sunday,
sure.
but I really think if our listeners and viewers get a hold of this, it's a really important concept. Dallas Willard, who's a Christian author, talks about, you know, we talk about the cost of discipleship,
mm-hmm.
which is what the rich young ruler was dealing with and eventually walked away from. Well, Dallas Willard says there's also a cost to non-discipleship. That's, I think, what we need to see. It's costly to follow Christ, but it's also costly not to follow Christ.
Right, right.
It's not like we can avoid the cost.
No.
You know, the rich young ruler, we don't know the rest of his story, but we do know that there was a cost to his life for holding on to riches, youth, and power.
Right.
We know that his youth didn't last. We know that, you know, his power and wealth were fragile.
Sure.
We don't know what happened
sure.
with that in his life, but that's certainly, those things come and go.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a cost to non-discipleship, a cost to not following Christ too. And according to Dallas Willard, it's significant to choose to not fully follow Christ. Mm-hmm. And in his mind, his way of thinking, and this has really captured my attention, there's a price to not actively living for Christ, and that price is actually higher.
Yeah.
It's actually more costly not to follow Christ.
Right.
So we say, yeah, it's costly to follow Christ, but guess what? It's just costly to live.
Mm-hmm.
It's, this life is costly, and what do we want to spend it on?
Right.
Do we want to spend it following Christ or spend it following the world's definition of what the good life is?
Right, right.
It's far greater a cost to let go of true peace and love and hope and security, the presence of God, all the things that come with following Christ, we don't have. And of course, the biggest one is addressed right in this passage, eternal life.
Right, right.
Eternal life is worth whatever we would sacrifice in this life because we're far richer and
right.
wealthier and forever young.
Right.
Think about the analogy of the rich young ruler. We're wealthy in a way mm-hmm. that no economy can threaten.
Right.
We're young in the sense that we never grow old. We
right.
live forever. And we have great influence and authority. It talks about him giving us this place of impact and influence.
Right.
And heaven's actually going to be very engaging mm-hmm. and, mm-hmm. And enjoyable because we'll have responsibilities and things to do. So,
right.
What the rich young ruler was holding on to would eventually fade.
Right, right.
But what Jesus was offering him was something that would never go
right,
away.
Right,
it strikes me that in the, you know, what Jesus, I told you, I said earlier, I said, you know, sell everything is something that's only for this guy and not for everybody.
Right.
But in a way, it's for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We all eventually in our life give everything away.
Yes, yes.
You know, we cannot yeah. take anything with us.
We can't.
Everybody slowly or quickly
yeah.
gives away everything they
right.
have. And but not everyone will follow Jesus.
Right.
And so life causes us to say, how are we going to spend it?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the cost that we're willing to pursue?
Right.
And a guy named Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose.
So good.
It's more costly to not follow Jesus,
right,
than it is to follow him.
Yeah. Yeah. I find myself having those conversations with a lot of people, you know, that kind of look at the Christian life as being restrictive.
Yeah.
You know? And I guess I just maybe chalk it up to them not really fully understanding the abundance of life that you can gain from the Christian walk. You know, right. It's not easy. It is sacrificial. It's not always fun, you know, but the things you can gain from that, I mean, you have eternal life. You have eternal brothers and sisters in Christ. Like, you have all of these things that are just overflow of abundance, you
totally,
know?
Yeah.
You know, but, that's the one thing that I think, you know, a lot of people don't fully grasp, you know, is that we're dealing with eternal life, not just when this earthly life ends, you know?
Yep. 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 Absolutely. Well, there's another thing that I wish I had said on Sunday that I didn't, but it's something that didn't hit me until your last song.
Yeah.
So I was, done with message. I'm hearing about my Italian food faux pas, you know, okay, I guess I said the wrong thing in the message. And, then I re-engage back to the song that you're singing. And do you remember the song you sang at the end of the service?
Yeah.
It tied in perfectly.
Yeah, we sang Stand in Your Love by Josh Baldwin.
Yeah.
So
Stand in Your Love. I won't make you sing it. Definitely you don't want me to sing it.
You can go grab my guitar real quick.
Yeah. But there's a line in there about, I mean, over and over again, talks about standing in his love, right?
Yeah. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I'm standing in your love. Yeah.
Standing in your love. Yeah. You know, and I remember thinking, I was, in that moment, I'm going, see, Ryan thought, he chose this song because he thought I was going to underline this one big point that I missed. It
right.
just dawned on me that in, you know, the story of the rich young ruler is told in three different gospels. I was in Matthew, but actually in Mark's version of it, when Mark tells a story, he tells us that when Jesus looked, I've got it right here,
sure.
in Mark 10:20, it says, the rich young ruler says, teacher, all these things I've kept since I was a boy, talking about all these commandments that Jesus mentioned. And then in verse 21, it says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. And Mark's the only one that tells us that.
Right.
I think that's a really great insight, but it reminds us of the motivation that Jesus had
sure.
to tell him
sure.
to go sell everything.
Sure.
Jesus was not being harsh with him, like
no.
going, look at you, you're this rich young ruler, you don't appreciate, you know,
right.
go sell, you know. He wasn't being judgmental or critical. He was actually, it was the most loving thing he could say.
Right, right.
It was hard, but it was loving because it was, he knew that that was keeping him
right.
from eternity and from eternal life right now.
Right. Right.
So it was a cool song.
Yeah.
You told me you actually didn't know that's where I was going. Or
yeah. Yeah. I'm glad you said that because I don't want people to think I have this like superpower that I don't. Mm-hmm. I sometimes wait for, you know, I guess this might be a little too inside baseball, I guess, but I sometimes wait for you to like, if you and I can chat before Sunday and you're like, I'm going in this direction.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like to credit that we've been working together for, you know, almost 10 years now.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
like,
yeah.
So, you know,
you kind of get what the way I think about
yes,
stuff.
Yes. I go, okay, I know where he's going to go or I can guess,
yeah.
you know, guesstimate where he's going to go, you know? And, but this week, we actually had, you know, abundance of life. We actually had some new volunteers with us. So I was like, I'll put the set list out early.
Right.
So they can feel prepared. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so I actually did the set list about a week and a half ago and had no idea where you were going to go,
gotcha.
You know, because we hadn't talked about it at all, you know? And so then I was like, well, you know, I just have to trust that the Holy Spirit is leading me in this direction. Mm-hmm. And
Yeah.
That's where it's going to go. And then it just fit together.
It fit perfectly. And it would have fit better if I had said something about.
Maybe I should let you know. Maybe we should talk early.
Yeah, I should have, you know. But I did try to like bring it in at the concluding challenge at the very end of the service, first service.
Totally.
And then second service, which didn't get recorded, but I did mention
yes,
the second
you did.
Service.
You did.
Because I thought, you know, that's really a good point. But it's worth us really thinking about right now.
Yeah.
Is that the good life is only in the God life, and Jesus wants that for us because he loves us.
Yes, yes, that's, very much so.
That's what motivates him. And yeah. when we stand in his love, when we realize, you know, that everything he calls us to, even when it seems hard and sacrificial and counterculture and difficult and maybe harsh, we feel like, man, Lord, I can't believe what I'm going through or what you're asking me to do or how hard this is. I mean, I can imagine a lot of people out there realize that for them to follow Jesus is sacrificial.
Yeah.
They're making some choices that are hard, that our culture doesn't applaud.
Right.
Our culture doesn't value. And it feels hard, but to realize that it's not because Jesus is saying, I want you to be different and weird. It's because he goes, I want you to experience my love and
right.
experience the right. good life.
Right.
So, anyway, that was a great ending song,
yeah,
and it actually the Holy Spirit did inspire it because it prompted me to add that note both at the end of first and in the middle of second service.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was really good. That was really good.
Yep, it was awesome. Yeah,
yeah. So yeah, people need to know that too. Like the whole service, not just the message, but the songs before the songs, the song afterwards. All of that is meant to sort of reinforce this, you know, cohesive message.
Right. Right.
That we hope that God is sort of orchestrating as we prepare,
yeah.
you know, ahead of time.
Yeah, yeah, very much so. I tell the worship team, you know, all the time that it's like we're very much the vessels that morning, that we're just trying to, you know, kind of usher in, you know, the presence of God in our church and then set up, you know, you to give us the message and then also, you know, support it at the end there too. So, yeah. Yeah, yeah, when it comes together nicely, it feels good, but it also feels like a victory. You know, that you're like, okay, I got to, you know, help out in this. I'm not leading this at all. I'm following the direction of the Holy Spirit, you know.
Well, we'll know if some of you heard this podcast, if we hear about chicken piccata or marsala yeah. or any other, you know, food faux pas I've made along the way. So anyway, appreciate our listeners and viewers being along for this conversation. Always appreciate you, Ryan,
yeah,
being
same,
a part of the conversation. It's always makes it enjoyable.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate your contributions along the way. I just really hope that as those who are following along, that we'll, when we think about that question that Jesus asked, why do you ask me about what is good? We'll be able to answer it because you're the one who really knows what's
right,
good.
Right.
Your definition of good, your prescription for good is better than mine.
Right.
So
sure.
We ask him for that because he knows what's best for us.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And so, as always, we'd love to hear from you if you're following along. Shout out to Richard, who last week we talked about, does anybody out there know who Chick Hearn is? And he commented on our YouTube channel that he said, great conversation. Thanks for sharing. I know who Chick Hearn is. So
nice.
Well done, Richard, out there for following along and letting us know. You can always email us at unhurriedpodcast@gmail.com. And thank you each for joining this conversation, for our enthusiastic listeners and viewers out there. Again, this has been a deeper dive into a sermon that I gave from Matthew 19, The Rich Young Ruler, on February 16th, 2025. If you want to catch the message that corresponds with our discussion, you can find that on the Green Valley Church YouTube page. Or you can catch it again if you'd like to. Until next time, this has been Unhurried with me, your host, Doug Kyle. And I look forward to talking soon.